Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Well, I just wanted to do a quick introduction for Reverend Ursula Lentine. She has been a good friend of mine for many, many, many years. We both have gone through the Centers for Spiritual Living Teachers Become Ministers, all stood before panels become ministers. But it takes so much more to just get your license and be a minister. It takes a consciousness of leadership and being a minister and things like that. So we have a lot of people that are leaders within our own very own center. And sometimes we don't see Reverend Ursula a whole lot because she has the leadership of the Children's Church. She's doing such a wonderful thing. Her consciousness is held way up here for what it is for the youth of our church, and she just holds it up here, and then the children come and fall into that consciousness, and she does a wonderful job. And she's up here many other Sundays just leading us, letting us know what the youth church is going, but also, too, she is a great, great minister within Centers for Spiritual Living, but even beyond that, she's a great leader within our community. She does so much work throughout our community. So today we get the honor of Reverend Ursula speaking with us. Reverend?
Thank you, David. Thank you. It's so nice to be loved. I appreciate that, David. Thank you. And I feel loved by our community, and everybody in here should feel loved by the community, because that's what it's all about, being supported. The spiritual path isn't easy, fun, but when we're surrounded by other people on the same spiritual path, it makes it more tolerable. So, here we go. Picture yourself walking through life. Everything's fine. You're doing well. And your superhero, your favorite superhero, is by your side. You're just cruising through life, doing good, and then all of a sudden, whack! A spiritual 2x4 hits you on the head and throws you over a cliff. Not a little cliff, mile deep, sheer. And you're bouncing and flailing. You don't know what's going on. Completely disorientated, confused, stressed out. Life and death is this close. And you finally, you see a root and you grab on. Out of breath. You catch on. Oh my God, I'm alive. You look over. There's a little ledge. And you tow yourself over and you get on the ledge. Welcome to the spiritual path. How did we get here? What is it compared to, and what do I need to do to not mess up any further? This is what I'm going to cover today. In writing this talk, I realized how much there is to talk about the spiritual path. I do healing work full time. I live the path. I feel like I'm an usher to people on their spiritual path. So as an usher, I have a lot of information. As a tour guide, I have a lot of information. And this is just going to be part one of the spiritual path. How do we get here? Well, it's usually a serious diagnosis, a severe injury, some kind of life change that pulls a rug from under your feet, finding out that your tried and true is really a cheater and a liar, realizing your marriage is a failure, letting go of your business that you put in so much of your life effort and now it's gone. Loss of a very dear loved one. These kinds of things mess us up. And they take us out of the game. And we find ourselves confused, stressed out, panicking, feeling like we're going to die. Not everybody has to suffer to get on their spiritual path. Some people retire and they realize, oh, wait a minute. I just wasted 40 years of my life. There's got to be something better. Maybe I can do something meaningful now. And then there's those of us, most of the people in here, I would imagine, who are saying, this game doesn't work. This is a bunch of crap. These people are so fake. And I'm not buying into this. There's got to be another way. And we would be the seekers. So we look, we keep looking, and we find the Centers for Spiritual Living, we find a book, we find things that help us. We find other people that are vibrating on our same level. So this is how we get onto the spiritual path. And once we're there, time changes considerably. To me, how time works is you've got the past, and it's a line, and then you've got the future, and it's a really short line. Because on the spiritual path, there's no plans. There's just this straight and narrow. And when we live fully in the moment on the spiritual path, that's what it's all about, because that's a rich place. When we were, before we fell off the cliff, there's a certain way. And now that we're on this straight and narrow, there's a whole nother way. And the references are very different. In the old way, we would blame people. We would blame our family. We would blame the society. We would blame our work or our education or that husband or that wife. And that's why my life is a mess. But on the spiritual path, we're like, yeah, it was kind of true, but shouldn't I be taking a little more responsibility for that? What was I doing to create my misery? And then we can say, oh, yeah, I was kind of lonely. I was really mad about everything, and I didn't say it because, you know, it's not cool to be mad. So I just suppressed my anger, my frustration, but it came out in bitterness, meanness, shortness, unkindness. I'm afraid. I'm kind of afraid of everything. I'm afraid my past is going to catch up with me. I'm afraid I'm not reaching anywhere near my potential. We come from a place of lack, and that's how we suffer. We didn't realize we were suffering because we were doing status quo. Check, check, check. I've got the house. I've got the this. I've got the that. But inside it was really empty. We thought everything was cool, but it wasn't. So the spiritual path put us back into a new place, a place of discovery, self-discovery. So we have this line of the past, and then we have this present moment, living fully in the present. And it's almost like it's an access point, like a ball, and you can go off in any direction. So in the moment, you can smile at a child at the supermarket while you're both standing in line, and it can be the most magical moment. But had we been living up there, we would have missed it. But now that we're living here and there's no time, there's no hurry, there's no pressure, there's no rush, we can hang out in the moment. And that smile with that child is magical. Or contemplating the meaning of life at the red light. Traffic is not a problem. Because all this time comes to us instead of us chasing it. And those of us who live on a multidimensional level, we can just go off into another plane of reality, slip into meditation all day long if we want, but feel more connected than we were surrounded by people and being professional and powerful. Our intelligence and our information and our knowledge was very useful over there. Our power over other people, very, very useful. Here, zip, gone, like empty pockets. Now what do? How do we function? It is very confusing when we first land here. So we compare, and sometimes we glamorize our past. Ah, it was so easy then. We got along fine. It really wasn't that bad. And sometimes we look back and we go, God, how could I have been so stupid? I was so ignorant. I was totally lying to myself. I wasn't being authentic. I was like role-playing. And now I'm here. And I still feel all those things, lonely and ugly and stupid, but like it's okay here for some reason. And it's the same life, but it's a whole different reality. It's a whole different expression and dimension of it. So what is this like? How can we compare it to? Going through the birth canal. Can you imagine if we remembered that horrible day? What would that be like? Here we're all cush, hanging out in our embryonic fluid. Same temperature. You don't even have to eat or drink, nothing. Everything's just flow. And at the end, you have one little complaint. Oh, it's a little crowded in here. And then all of a sudden, like the cliff going down, there's confusion and chaos. There's squishing and something's wrong. Something's going on. And I think this is where we get our first thought. You want me to go where? And then they're like this little tiny, and your head's so big, and you're like, what? And then you're diving into the darkness, not knowing. Like, I'm not supposed to go anywhere. I'm just in this little thing. What's this traveling all about? What? And then the stress that we must have been through, going in that little tiny cavity, that little canal, what? And then we're very sensitive at that point. Do you think the stress of our mothers was all concentrated right on us? So not only are we freaking out, dying to that way, but actually getting born into a whole nother way, and then feeling all of her stress for hours. How terrible. What a way to come into this world. And then all of a sudden, the anticlimactic moment, you pop out. And everybody is staring at you, and there's bright lights. I really believe this is the beginning of stage fright, by the way. And you're covered in blood. And the evolution from gills to breathing oxygen, it's taken thousands of years to evolve to that. And here it is, we do it in one day. What a shock that is to our system. It's cold. There's so much external stimulation. We think back, like, God, that wasn't so bad. A little crowded. One complaint. This is a bunch of nonsense. But you look back where you came from, and you're like, oh, you can't go back. So here we are on the spiritual path, alone and afraid, and we look back there, and you can't go back. It's not that we don't try to go back when we're born. You ever see those 3 or 4 year olds? They've got their moms by the thigh and they're banging their head against her pubic bone. It's like, get me out of here. I want to go back home. And the mom's like, stop it. Stop it. And then if you think about sex, like a man's just trying to get back home. He remembers. It was nice in there. So the spiritual path is the straight and narrow. And in Matthew, in the Bible, in Matthew 7:14, it said, the gateway is narrow and the road is difficult, and very few find it. And then in Robert Frost, one of our favorite metaphysical poems, he says at the end of his poem, and the road diverged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. Yeah, it is different. This road is different. If you thought you had friends before, they're all going to go away. Because our vibration changes, our awareness changes, our priorities change. And when we were living in the past, it was all this stress, tons of stress around work and making it and climbing the ladder. And all this pressure, like, I got to be the right dad, and I got to be the perfect mom, and, all this, like, outside pressure and outside stimulation. And then we'd have to do so much stress reduction because we were living a life of stress. So now we have two pressures, the stress and then the addictions and distractions, the childish ways of handling the stress. So let's go over some of our addictions that we just love to run and pretend that they're no big deal. Prescription. Oh, my doctor put me on prescription. Uh-huh. You're on drugs, lady. Alcohol. Oh, I just have one glass. I mean, everybody drinks. What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. Did you notice that the bottle of wine is made out of glass? Which glass are you talking about? Work. Workaholic. Anybody here overwork? I do. Working, 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 driving, driving, striving, striving. You climb the ladder, and you're like, yeah, I made it. And then you look over, and there's another ladder. And you're like, I didn't see this ladder when I was climbing that. And that's how it goes, perpetual. The carrot, the proverbial carrot on the stick, always, always out of reach. And we promise ourselves, I'm going to be a better person. I'm just going to try. I'm going to grow this arm longer. There's something I can do. And we get so codependent about not being good enough. We eat not good enough. I'm not good enough for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But we don't want to look at that really because that's undermining, and we want to just stay on top of it all. So we addict. We distract. And this work, 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 what's the cost of it? We do it for money, we do it for power, fame, prestige, security. The cost is our relationships. The husband and the wife, they have to travel now because they can get more money and the pension and the this and the that. The one home is the lonely. They get distracted and they have an affair. Our relationships with our children. What about our parents? Thanks, bye, see ya. Are we contributing to their life? Are we relaxing and spending time with them? Are we too busy? And at hospice, one of the best teachings I got is through hospice. They don't talk about work except to say regretful things. Spent too much time at work. The most valuable thing at the end of our day is relationships. So when we're addict running the games, and we get to the end of the game, and it's like game over, we lose. Unless you land on the spiritual path and you're stressed out your whole life. It's a different stress. It's a not knowing. Because on the spiritual path, we don't know. We're clueless. So here we think we know. We have the illusion that we know. We're in charge and we've got a bunch of information. But here we don't know, and it's okay not to know. It's okay to just live on the edge all the time. You know, they say the 1,000-mile journey begins with a single step. Each step on the spiritual path is that single step. So every day is new. Every moment is new. That's living in the present moment. The only bad thing about living in the present moment is it's so rich, it's so wonderful, and it's so amazing and really grabs our attention. But when someone says, how is your week? Everything like crashes in my brain. Because I'm like, weak, I'm living by moments. We used to live by events. Oh, Saturday night we went out, Sunday night slept all day, Monday was a rough day at work. And maybe those are events, but here in spiritual path, we live by the rich moments. So if somebody's like asking you to go through your file cabinet of moments for the week, it's hard. So if you don't remember things, good, you're on your spiritual path. You're living more fully in the moment. It's not Alzheimer's. This spiritual path, now what do we need to remember and keep aware of as we're going through it? Because it's rough, it's scary, there's unknown. You're in the unknown all the time. There is a perfect movie to describe what it's like living on the spiritual path. And it's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Now, Crusade is a spiritual exploration to get back to the Holy Land. The Holy Land is within. It's the kingdom within. So as spiritual path walkers, we're always adventuring inside. And it's a walk of faith. Faith? You don't need faith in the old lifestyle. That's edited out. And this one, that's what you're eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you're still not good enough, but that's okay. So in this movie, Indiana Jones is walking his straight and narrow. He's in a cave, walking the straight line, you know, running away from the bad guys, doing his old Indiana Jones stuff. And there's no luggage, there's no room for baggage on this straight and narrow. So all he has is a little textbook of ancient text, written in code, of course. And he walks to the edge of this cliff thing, this straight and narrow path in the cave. And then all of a sudden, there's this giant ravine. Bottomless, and across maybe 20 feet. Impossible, even for Mr. Jones, to jump across. So ego, can't do it. Willpower, can't do it. Strength, courage, self-talk, can't do it. He has to move into another dimension. Faith. So he looks for a reference source, and it says, only from the head of the lion will he know his worth. Back to the core issue of worthlessness. And it's my coming of understanding through all the hundreds of therapies that I've done with people that this core issue is within all of us, and the split is within all of us. This ego-based lifestyle and the spirit-led lifestyle. Not spirit-led from out there, but spirit-led from in here. What is my heart saying? What is my soul saying? I am a child of God, and how do I live from that way? So in this moment, Indiana Jones is standing on the edge, and he's looking around. He reads that thing. He looks up as if to say, well, I got this far, and it's been a good life, quite the adventure, and I could die, and I could live. But I'm not going to attach to either of those. You can see all this going on in his face, by the way. And then he puts his hand on his sexy chest. I mean his heart chakra. And you can't tiptoe into faith. It's a do or die situation. At spiritual camp with the teenagers, 1 year, their saying was, well, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And on the spiritual path, you feel like you're going to die regularly. Up here, no. Only if you drink too much and you're driving, you shouldn't be driving. That's about it. That's as close to death as we get because it's safe. We try to keep everything safe. Here, no safety, no security. Security is an illusion of the past. So we're always cautiously moving forward, trying to be wide awake. So he's there. You can't tiptoe out. You got to step out. You got to lean into it. You got to commit to the unknown. Because think about it. Who's beating my heart? Definitely not me. Who's breathing my lungs? Can't I trust the energy that's created me? Can't I trust an intelligence that's already inside of me? Why does my ego think it's got to drive my life? So ego has to, like, cry in the back corner somewhere because it is not allowed in this kind of territory. He takes his boots and with a straight leg and he leans into it and he lands on the invisible bridge. He only sees the bridge at this moment because he took the leap of faith. Ego says, show me and then I'll go across. It doesn't work that way in this realm. We have to say, okay, I trust. I've been taking care of my whole life, even though I thought I was doing it. But if I look back at the times and events where everything was dicey and everything was hairy and I made it through, it was more than me. So if I have a collection of those moments, then I have a little bit of trust as I step into faith. So this invisible bridge is there. And the first look on his face is of gratitude. Ah, I get to live some more. Wow, I'm fully supported where I thought I wasn't. And it's so refreshing. It is so thrilling to know when we're supported, when we've stepped out in faith and there it is. And we can't be cocky about it is the thing. So we can't go, oh yeah, check, check, check. I can do whatever I want. Life's going to have my back. No, because ego sneaks in when we do stuff like that. And we will fall flat on our face many times on the spiritual path. But that's just a part of the gig. So instead of the 2x4, we'll get common 1x2s. They won't hurt as often, but they're there. So when ego sneaks in, we have to keep it in check. The rest of the path he goes on, he walks cautiously and timidly because we have to have reverence when we're on the spiritual path. Cockiness is not allowed. Humility is necessary. It needs to be our best companion. So that's how it is. That's how we get on the spiritual path. The birth canal is experienced over and over again. We'll go through transformation. We thought, God, I thought I was doing okay. What's going on? How come? It's just another mini birth canal thing. Transition, transformation. And once we get used to these patterns and these things that happen regularly, we'll be okay with it. It's really a wonderful adventure, much more entertaining than all the stimulation there. Because wouldn't it be nice, instead of all the stress and all the addictions to cover up the stress, wouldn't it be nice if we just used all that energy to simplify our life, to be calm and peaceful, to be centered and fully aware? So the superhero that was walking alongside of you way in the beginning is now saluting you, saying you've done it.
We become our own superheroes. We become our own savior, our own consciousness. References on the outside are far and few between. All of our answers are inside. So isn't it nice to know in conclusion that you are your own superhero on your own straight and narrow? Life can be very, very simple and quite the adventure. Thank you. Let's move into a spiritual mind treatment now. Unfold your body. Take a deep breath and just relax. I know there's one vibration, one consciousness, one life-giving energy source. And I'm the individualized expression of that, with all my quirks and idiosyncrasies, my funny little personality, my mistakes, my flaws. I'm a child of God. I'm an expression of God. And the bigger I think, the more I expand, the bigger I get to express that. It's who I am. And to know this is a blessing. The more I wake up to this blessing, the more I receive. The more I understand who I am, the more I live my purpose. The more I live my purpose, the more I have to share. Why shouldn't I be that beaming light? That beautiful sparkle. Yes, it's me. Anytime I'm scared, it's there. Anytime I'm curious, there's answers. I can be completely alone and feel surrounded by love coming from within me. I can be completely lost and afraid and find that entertaining. Life is eternal. And this is the moment that we get to have this life to do whatever we want, play anything we want. It's an adventure. We're our own superheroes. We create. I'm so grateful to know this, to have a power like none other, not in an old lifestyle, that I have this much power. A power to love, a power to understand, a power to use my intelligence. Dancing and singing through life, this is what we have available to us. And as we choose it, we let go. Just like when we let go on a dance floor, or let go in the middle of a run, or let go into slumber, or let go into the high dive. We let go and release and trust this into the universe, and so it is.